Well, again, tonight, I want to thank all of you for coming. And I want to ask that you pray for Brother Carter. I've known his parents, his father, for many, many years. He was just a little boy when I pastored the church in Indianapolis. And, of course, I didn't know his mother until later on in years when I came to Bowling Green. But his grandparents, they've meant a lot to me. His parents mean a lot to me. And he and his brother mean a lot to me as well. And we're glad to have him tonight. And we want him to have complete liberty and bring the message the Lord wants us to hear tonight. Brother Carter.
Huh?
Can I do anything to help
you? Oh, no, I'm good. Thank you. Good evening. It's good to see each and every one of you tonight. It's especially good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I'm glad he brought me and each one of you into the house of the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to be able to kid with each other. I really appreciate that. I've been attending this church on and off for a better part of 15 years, and a even better part of that, I've been a member of this church, and I'm extremely happy to be a member here. I hope y'all are too, if you're members here. I do want you to open your Bibles and read along with me. As you know, I've said this before, from this pulpit. I know I don't speak very well, so it's a really good idea to read along with me. So you can get the joy out of reading the Word as much as I do. If you would, please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1 through 4. Verse 1 through 4. And as you're turning, I know that my dog was brought up, and we kidded about it, but the focus tonight should be on the Word of God, not the dog. So, little kids, if you're here and can understand me, read along in the Word and your Bibles tonight, and don't focus on my dog. My dog should stay put, and you shouldn't even see her. But if you do, pay attention to the Word and be happy while we're reading along together. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1 through 4. Thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots, and a people more than thou. Be not afraid, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priests shall approach and speak unto thee, and shall say unto them, Hear, O people, ye approach this day into battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight against your enemies to save you. That's part of my scripture text. The other part is in Psalm chapter 91, verses 11 through 13. For he will give his angels orders concerning you to protect you in all your ways. They will support you with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the young lion and serpent. May God receive glory for the reading of his word. I want you to look back when you were a child growing up and all the things that happened, awkwardness, and today you might be a grown up, you might be a young person, you might be even younger than me. There's a few of you in the seats today. There's some people that are still children, but I want you to look at that time and the time that has passed. Adults, I want you to look at the time that has passed and knowing we know that there is a spiritual warfare going on. And it's not that by chance you did not go from a young person to adulthood by chance. You didn't get there because you beat the odds. You didn't get to adulthood because of some fluke. There were angels with you, and Jesus was sending his angels to help protect you during that time. I know that in my life, there were several times that several things that I went through that I should not be alive today. And that's because of Jesus. My brother, and most of y'all know him and know the medical issues he went through. There are many times when he almost died. There was a time where he did die. But Jesus did not see fit to take him into his heavenly home. Excuse me. But that was spiritual warfare. And I know that myself and my brother aren't the only ones that Jesus has sent his angels to protect. You have your own stories. I'm sure I want you to be looking back at those stories tonight as I go through my sermon that God has given me to give to you. But through all those hardships that I faced, one in particular comes to mind tonight, and I want to bring that up. People tell me, well, first off, I'd like to say that we should be, others should see us as being humble. And a preacher especially should be humble. And I try my best to be humble and to let God shine and not myself. But one hardship that I found is people say, Michael, you seem so confident. You seem almost naive, like not a care in the world. Well, I tell you, I believe each of us as Christians have that conflict and have had that issue. If not, are experiencing that issue right now to this very day. People wonder why you come across so confident. Well, me personally, I have confidence. I appear so confident because I know for a fact that Jesus said when he was dying on the cross, it is finished. Jesus fought a spiritual battle right there on the cross, and he said it is finished. He did that for me. He did that for you. And that is why I come across as so confident. I believe that not only should we have a humble heart when we are lost and seeking God, but we need to be confident. You need to be confident. You need to know for a fact that Jesus is there. He died on the cross for you. You need to be confident in the words that I read from Psalms, that where he says he will send his angels so you may step and trample on the lion and the serpent. I believe that to be true. I've gone through many instances in my life, and I've already said that about my brother, and I know that you have many instances of hardships in your life. But that does not change the fact that it is finished. That Jesus said it is finished, and that's going to be true from the day he said it to the end of this world. It is going to be finished. Now I want you to turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, verse 4. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but could not find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither there was there any error or fault found in him. Because of Daniel's confidence, he was able to be considered number one, the head honcho, the best president that there was in the land. Because of that confidence, he knew that one day that Jesus would come and say, it is finished, that Jesus would battle, would be in that spiritual battle and say, it is finished. Now, today, many people try to say the book of Daniel was just a story of fiction. And even biblical scholars, they go into great depth. I don't know if you've ever read the articles written by these people, but they go into great depth and how it was just a story. But I have confidence. I have confidence. I know that the book of Daniel was real. Everything in the book of Daniel happened, just like every single word in the Bible happened. Now, there are so many similarities between the book of Daniel and Daniel's experience with lion's den and what we go through today. We'll experience the being thrown into the lion's den because people find us faultful. They find faults in our lives and they condemn us and they immediately want to destroy us. They wish us harm, but you're going to be thrown into the lion's den. But just like Daniel, the mouths of the lions, they were closed because Daniel had that confidence. He knew for a fact that Jesus Christ was Lord. He knew for a fact that Jesus Christ was going to deliver him from the lion. He knew the words of the psalmist when the psalmist wrote about us being able to trample the lion and the serpent. He knew that to be fact. If you doubt for a second that that is true, very bad things are going to happen. And the bad things that are going to happen, this is not just a fiction that I want you all to take a look at, but Matthew chapter 14, verse 26 and 27, and we all know what's happening here. We all know that Jesus was with his disciples, and then he sent them across the great lake, a great body of water, and Jesus was going to meet them on the other side. And while the disciples were crossing this great body of water, a big storm happened, and it was not uncommon, and it's very similar to what we go through in our lives. A storm happens, things happen. Amen. To where the waves get high up and we can't see what's going on. But Jesus came walking on the water, and his disciples that knew for a fact, that had confidence, that were so thought after to be confident, that they thought it might be a spirit or a ghost. They did not recognize Jesus while he was walking on the water. And Jesus called out and said, come unto me. And Peter stepped on the water, and he walked on the water for a brief time, maybe just put his foot on the water, and then his attention definitely immediately went off of Jesus. And he lost that confidence for a brief second. That's all it took for the world to swallow him up, for him to sink deep down into the water. But Jesus was right there reaching his hand out, and he grabbed a hold of him and said, don't be afraid, be of good cheer. I am here. And when they were on the boat, the way I see it, there were a lot of hugs. Jesus was there with them. He said, I want you to know me, to recognize me. If you recognize Jesus while the storms of life come up, you're not going to sink in water. You're going to be able to walk on water. See, I have confidence. I'm one of those people that believe the good in others. I don't just see the bad. I do believe that I'm a sinful creature, and I do believe mankind are sinful creatures, but I believe in the potential that Jesus gave mankind to be good, because Jesus made that little place in each one of us for him to reside. And it's my deepest heartfelt wish that if you do not have Jesus residing with you, that you look to him and ask him to come inside and take over, because Jesus will be with you. And there will be times in your life, if you haven't already, where you need so desperately to walk on water when you have situations in your life that you cannot stand on your own, where you cannot, you don't think there's a way out, where you're backed in a corner and you need to cry out to Jesus, and you cry out to somebody, but I tell you what, Jesus will be right there beside you and ready and willing. I just pray that you recognize the fact that he will be there. Have confidence that he will be there, because he said it point blank that he will be there with open outstretched arms. Jesus wants to love each one of you tonight. I experienced it when I was 7 years old. I can't. And when I experienced salvation when I was 7 years old, and now I look back at that, I realize the joys of my salvation that Jesus gave me. I realize the fact that I would not have made it because of Jesus Christ. That's why I am so confident. I believe today so strongly today that the words that Jesus uttered on the cross is finished, that no matter what spiritual warfare that may happen in your personal lives, that he will be willing to deliver you. If you are willing to recognize him, if you want to be able to recognize him, he will be there with an outstretched arm. And just call on his name, and because it is Jesus. It's not somebody else, it's Jesus. Call on his name. Now, we all know that we need to do things to prepare for spiritual warfare. And when I say that, your mind immediately went to the armor of God. That is correct. The armor of God. We need to hold closely onto the armor of God. But I'm going to read to you something that we sometimes overlook. Sometimes when we're putting on the armor of God, it's very easy to overlook this. The sword, when I was young, I was fascinated with swords. I love swords. The sword is what cuts down to the bone. I like single-edged swords, but I really like double-edged swords, and that's one thing that will draw your focus, the sword of the Lord. And then, of course, the shield. We know that any warrior has a shield. Any warrior that's worth anything has a shield to go into battle, and then you have to have the belt, something that holds on all the armor. But something that we overlook, and I really did not start looking at this until I was in college, but we were taught to be observant, to look at people's shoes. How often do you look at other people's shoes? Not very often. We don't look at people's shoes. There was a sermon that a preacher preached. He preached about the sandals of peace. And then he took a step from behind the pulpit, and he didn't have any shoes on. And that I thought that was kind of funny, that he didn't have any shoes on. He had a nice suit on, nice coat, nice pants, but he stepped out and he didn't have any shoes on. And he did that to prove a point that people overlook the sandals of peace. But if we want to turn our attention to Ephesians chapter 6, for we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil days, and having done all, to stand. And then we're going to look at chapter 15. And your feet shod the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that is a lot of people look at that as the sandals of peace, but it's a preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, how many of you know what the sandals look like in biblical days? Sandals had, of course, a pad to go over the feet. There's a reason for that. There's a reason for that in sandals being associated with verse 15 of the sixth chapter of Ephesians. It's because, that Jesus gave us the necessary tools to trample on lions and serpents. He wanted us to have protection on our feet. And also, something that's even lesser known is some people just leave it at that, but biblical sandals, oftentimes soldiers would put nails or cleats on their sandals. And the reason for that is so you don't go backwards. Spiritual warfare, Jesus gave you the tools to go forward, not backwards. Jesus gave you the tools to go forward. And if you let him be with you and you let him walk with you each day, you let him send his angels to you, you will go forward, not backwards, in your spiritual life. You will get to know Jesus even better and even better and even better if you let him. We need to recognize Jesus. We need to recognize him when he comes to us. Because even if we have... I love athleticism and sports. I don't know about you, but even the best athlete, if he's given the absolute best sporting equipment, if he doesn't know how to use it, he's not going to accomplish very much of anything. If you don't know how to use this spiritual armor, if you don't recognize Jesus is the one that will tell you how to use that armor, you're not going to do very much at all. If you don't reach out and grab a hold of him tonight, if you haven't already done so, you're not going to move forward in your life until you recognize him, Jesus, as Savior. Now I want to wrap things up tonight. I know my speech isn't very good, but and it's grown worse over the years. But that does not change the fact that Jesus gave me something to say tonight. I want to revisit Deuteronomy chapter 20. And go ahead and turn in your Bibles, Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 3 and 4. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, do not tremble, neither be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight against your enemies to save you. That's my message. Let's be ready to fight the spiritual warfare, but we're not going to do it without Jesus. We're not going to do very good without Jesus. I thank you for being here. Is there a word on anybody's heart tonight?
Thank you.